I know you know this, okay? But the Psalms are in the front of your hymnal, in case you forgot. If you would, turn to Psalm 119. We're going to look at verses 9 through 16. And I'm not going to spend 30 minutes on each verse. But Psalm 119, beginning at verse 9. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I will declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." What or who has your focus? In education, they talk a lot about children that are battling ADD, attention deficit disorder. And it can be a real struggle. It's not fun for the child, and it's not easy for the parents. But sometimes I think in our culture, it's easier for us if we compartmentalize stuff like that, and we say that, well, ADD, you know, is a problem for people who go to school because they can't focus on studies. And then for some, it's they can't focus on their work as they grow up. But actually, in our world today, there are so many things that stimulate us, so many things that grab our attention. From the smells of McDonald's as you drive by, you know, and all of a sudden your stomach goes, ooga, you know, you're hungry and you didn't know that until it grabbed your sensory system. Or, you know, it's something on your phone. It chimes, chirps, or dings, or whatever noise you have it set for, and you realize somebody's trying to reach out to you. And people who are driving are on their phone. It takes our attention off the road, and it puts our attention on the device. And even with the new fancy cars that have hands-free Bluetooth and all the connections with your cell phone, it still comes up on that display. And the voice of the phone call still comes through. And you can tell sometimes when the driver is involved in more of a conversation than they are driving, because their path is this and this and this way and that. And instead of staying in their lane, they encroach onto the next one. Sometimes it's oncoming traffic. Sometimes it's someone next to them going the same way. We have problems in our world with attention. Many years ago, I noticed, way before smart TVs, that commercials were always louder. Did you know that? Yeah, it wanted to wake you up if you were snoozing in your favorite chair. You know, hey, there's a commercial. Here's an ad. You need to pay attention to that. You know, and so we have ways that culturally the world around us tries to get our attention. From all the news bulletins that you can subscribe to through the internet, your emails and things like that, from all the ads you get, whether they're a text or an email or even a phone call, from a digital call center, the world is trying to grab our attention. By the way, this is not new. Way before technology, way before there were smartphones and smart TVs, the world around us has always been trying to grab our attention. The street vendors in the days of Egypt and in the Holy Lands, they would have the person outside, you know, yelling at the top of their voice, you know, come in here and we have, you know, 2 for 5, or however they would say it. The world has always been clanging and banging to grab you. And if it's not the world outside of us, it's our own passions. It's our own desires. I was with my aunt, my favorite aunt, in a store, and we were in the card section, and we had gone to this store because they had an optical center for glasses, and mine needed repair. And some of you know this, since I was 17, I have not seen the eye chart. The big E does not exist. So I'm in the store, and I'm with my aunt, and she needed a card. So we're in the card section, and I'm without my glasses. And, you know, I had been talking about, well, I can't see any of these. You know, I can't help you. You know, and two girls walked by. And it caught my attention just like that. I wasn't married. You don't have to tell Gwen. Okay. Two girls walk by, and my aunt stands there and goes, you can't see, phooey. You know, for anything else, I was going to say, I can't see, I can't see. And then two girls walk by, oh, I can see. That is our flesh. That is the world within us already. Our sinful nature catches up with stuff. And so we crave and we desire and we lust and we imagine and we dream, and not all of it is godly. So we who have, and it's not the medical diagnosis, it's the spiritual one. We have attention deficits. And Psalm 119 is not the only place, but it's one of the places that gives us cues about, and it's not a recipe, do this and this and this and you will be perfectly fine. No, if you try to live according to the law, what's the guarantee? You will fail. Our sinful nature finds a way to mess with us. I can't blame the world outside, it's inside. It's just the way we are since the fall of Adam and Eve. But God has called us to new life, and he says you don't have to stay in that lack of attention condition. And so Psalm 119 walks us through, and it talks about here's what God's people get to do in a world that is chiming, clanging, calling, begging, trying to grab your attention. And take a look at that. It starts with, how can a young man or a young woman or a person, old or dear, keep his or her way pure? And it's by guarding it according to the word. You know, there's a lot in the news about gun rights and about, you know, protect yourself. And I have a carry permit. And I've been to the range and practiced shooting. I learned to shoot on Ventura County Sheriff's Range when I was in college because I was licensed in the state of California to carry a firearm for a job that I had. And the world hasn't changed since I was in college. In fact, some people would say it's worse. I think it's just the same. It's as wicked as just more in the news. And so a lot of people are worried. And they're getting panicky. And gun sales went through the roof. What about the scriptures? What about being in the word so that we are not confused about what it says when we hear people say, oh, this is in the Bible, and then it's not? There was a preacher on TV some years ago. I won't mention his name, but he used to talk about how money is the root of all evil. He said, I can control it. Send me your money. Do you understand? How would we know from the Bible that that's not right unless we're in the scriptures? And so the Bible's been translated into so many languages, and it's still being translated today so that people can read it for themselves. And on the day of Pentecost, that's what surprised the people, that they heard the disciples talking to them about Christ in their own tongue, in their own language. So that the message that God wanted out into the world could be understood, listened to, and by the working of the Holy Spirit, changing hearts and minds, creating believers. How do we survive in a world like that when we're so distracted? And the first step is go to the Word. To be in the Word in a devotion, portals of prayer, many other resources for you are available online. You can have it on your phone. You can have it on your iPad, your tablet. You know, it's in Google. It's in Apple form. It's there for us. But the problem is that it takes us away from our sports. It takes us away from our other interests. It takes away from the fashion world and all of the pizzazz and all the things of music and its genre of videos. It takes us away from the things that are flashy, that appeal to the eye and to the mind and even to the heart. It takes us away from that because it is God's word. But it brings something the world can't offer. It brings you hope when there's so much despair. It brings you forgiveness when there's so much judgment. It brings you peace in the midst of all the turmoil. And so we talk about that in the worship service. May the peace of God, you know, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's from the Bible. A preacher didn't make that up. And so Psalm 119 says, go to the Word. And it's not just go to it and read it occasionally. When I first became a pastor, I learned that most homes have a Bible, and most Bibles are dusty. And I would come to a visit, and if it was a surprise visit, I wasn't surprised when people brought out a dusty Bible and they were wiping it off on their shirt or a towel or something, because they didn't want the pastor to know it's not used much. They just wanted me to know they had one. God calls us to not just have it, but to be in a relationship with the living word that he has graciously given. Take a look at what Psalm 119 says. With my whole heart, I seek you. How many things on TV do you watch half-heartedly? Something you sort of interested or not interested. You know, you might watch, like there were football games on yesterday, but it's not your favorite team, but you sort of like football. So you might watch that game, but you have no participation in the challenge, in the struggle from either side. God calls us because he gave us his son. He gave us wholeheartedly his life, his suffering, and his death. There was nothing half measured about God. And he comes to us and he reaches out to us to embrace us, to warm our hearts out of this cold world, this world of bitterness and anger. He calls us to himself, so that we may, with hearts that are made alive in Christ, we may indeed wholeheartedly embrace him, seek him. It's by the power of faith that we embrace Christ. We don't embrace Christ and then get faith. That's human work. But Christ has embraced us, stretched out his arms on Calvary, and said, I did this for you. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're distracted. And he embraced us and rose for us. And he got our attention. We call that Easter Sunday. When we say from the front, he is risen. And the people say, see, you know these bits, don't you? And God calls us to embrace them, to seek them with our whole heart. Look what else Psalm tells you. He says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. One of the things I used to get to do when I taught confirmation is toward the end of the year, I would have the kids ask me any question. And I would close my books, my Bible, and they can ask me any question. And it was, we're going to play Stump the Pastor. And, oh, they love this. They're game. And in 41 years, I've been stumped twice. Now, it's not that I'm so brilliant. It's just I'm in the Word constantly, consistently. So it's fresh. Gwen can give me a grocery list verbally, and before I get out of the driveway, out of the neighborhood, I'm going, what was she wanting? A sermon, when I first started, I would read out loud and go over the sermon a minimum of 25 times to stand here and do what I'm doing without the script, without reading it to you. It's not natural. God calls us to be unnatural in the ways of the world. And the way to do that is to be in the Word, to study his statutes and what he teaches, and let him open that up for you so that you do indeed grow wiser in the faith and more passionate in the heart for your Savior. The transformation is awesome. It doesn't happen for everybody all at once. It happens in the Lord's timing. There are still things I don't understand in Scripture. There are still things I could study more. But God offers this to you so that for our attention deficit crisis, there is a solution. There is a cure. And it's not a medicine. It's not an herb. It's not over the counter. Your insurance doesn't have to cover it. Isn't that wonderful? It's the free gift that God gives you through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. And that Word in print is alive by the power of the Holy Spirit and warms our heart and our mind. So it is, with my lips I declare, in the way of your testimonies I delight. I meditate on your precepts. I fix my eyes on your ways. I delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do you see the progression here? For us who are distracted by flesh and world, God brings us back so that our eyes, and it's in Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. In the Old Testament, it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And the next phrase is, forget not all his benefits. When we are distracted, no wonder we end up in spiritual crises. When we are distracted, no wonder we start to lose hope. When we are distracted, no wonder our passion, our love for God fades, and love for other stuff, things, whatever, starts to fill its place. The heart has no empty spots. You knew that, right? Something always fills it. It's either God or something else. In marriage, it's the partner God brought you. In parenting, it's the children that God gave you. In work, it's the passion and the intelligence and the ability to produce. But so often our heart has things that are not of God. And we are like the train trying to drive on the sandy beach. And we wonder, why aren't we making any progress? So keep in mind Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. You can read all of it. But certainly keep in mind these verses 9 and following. And that will help your attention issues. We all struggle with them. But we can all give thanks that God provides the path that lights the way. In Jesus, amen.